is Christ the Lord. Oh, we have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. Oh, we have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Him. Christ the Lord. Oh, just forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. So worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Lift up holy hands. Oh, let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. So worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome to the service this evening. Just so wonderful to be here. I see many folks are away traveling. We have the youth group that is traveling to the Louisiana camp. I want to be mindful of that and remember those folks in prayer and those that are away from us today. Amen. If you're joining by way of the internet, we just welcome you to the service. Pray that you'll just give it your all tonight and give God the glory. Amen. Let's sing the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a...
I think we're going to have to change that key. What key is that? C? That's it.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood.
Sing with me now.
Oh, this is my story. this is my song. Oh, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Yes, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Verse 2.
Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
Sing now.
Oh, this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And this is my story. Oh, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you
worship him tonight.
I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way.
Hallelujah.
And I bless your name. I bless your name. In some midst night out. Oh, my friend, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out.
Sing one more before we take our prayer requests. Let go and let God have His way. Key of F.
Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way.
Sing it again now.
Let go and let God have His wonder.
God have His way in our hearts tonight. Amen. We certainly don't come to play church. This is very serious. Amen. I believe what we're doing here has eternal value. Amen. So we just love to give God the glory. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let you have your seats just a moment. Give your legs a rest. Have many needs here that we want to be remembering in prayer. Some of these were mentioned on Sunday, but we'll continue to remember these folks in prayer, amen, until we get a good report. We'd like to remember Brother Joseph Drum in prayer. I believe he was requesting prayer Sunday. He was sick. So let's pray for him. This was a special need from Sister Faye and Brother Wayne for their grandson, Paxton. To remember him in prayer. He is okay. He's doing much better, but he was dealing with croup, so we want to remember him in prayer. Also, remember their niece, Sister Kim Neal. She was attacked by a bulldog while she was delivering her mail on her route. And she's suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder from that. And we know that's a very terrible thing to go through. Amen. Let's remember her in prayer that she could recover from that emotionally and mentally. I want to pray for their grandson, Jaden Brumley. He was playing basketball and had the basketball goal fall on his wrist, and he's had urgent urgent care. So let's remember him in prayer. Amen. Sister Connie and Brother Troy Hughes requested prayer tonight. Brother Troy's sister is dealing with some blindness. They say her vision is degrading, and she's just requesting prayer. That I believe that's where they are right now, visiting with her. She wants to be able to see her brother one more time at least. So let's remember her in prayer. God would touch her. I believe that he can open blinded eyes. Amen, don't you? Man, we know that he's done that many times. Also remember Sister Connie in prayer. She's going for a checkup on her neck from the recent surgery that she had. So let's remember her in prayer. And Sister Amber McCall had a prayer, a request. I believe she was dealing with sinus congestion and bronchitis. So let's remember her in prayer. Amen. That's all the needs I have at this time. I'd like to ask Brother Ethan if he would take these needs before the Lord. As he's making his way forward, let's all stand. If you have unspoken prayer requests by uplifted hands, amen. Hold those on your heart, my friend. God knows your needs, and I believe that he can touch them. Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we sung the song, Lord, just letting go and let you have your way, we just ask you, Lord, to help us with that. Let us see your will and just walk with you every day, Lord. We see these requests that's been placed here. We bring them to you. We ask you to just touch every need there, Lord, and just give comfort to where it needs to be, Lord. And just bless them, Lord, and just be their strength, Lord. We ask you to bless this service this evening. Lord, we've come with open hearts. We just ask you to answer questions and the needs that we have. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song, As the Deer Panteth Through the Water, key of C.
As the deer panteth o'er the water, O my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. My spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother. You alone are the reason. desire and I long to worship Thee. Sing that first verse again. As the deep panted pools, the waters, oh my soul longeth after Thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee.
Sing with me with all your hearts now.
To You alone does my strength, my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee.
Amen. I love that song, don't you? Hallelujah. Let our deacons come forward at this time. We're going to take up our evening offering. Man, you just give as unto the Lord. Know that your tithes and offerings go to spread the gospel around the world. Amen. Brother Mike, would you lead us in prayer, brother? Let's sing that song, Blessed Be the Lord God Almighty. It's in key.
Father in heaven, we love You. We lift Your name in all the earth. May Your kingdom be established in our praises, as Your people declare Your mighty works. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be that's around. come shadows in the light of you. Then I worship you.
All hearts and minds are ready for the word. Amen. That's the most important thing tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to invite our minister to come at this time. I'd like to sing that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart. I believe it's in the same key. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you high and lifted up, oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. Yes, I want to see you. Oh, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open my eyes, I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. How many want to see God tonight? Amen. We have a promise. Wherever two or three of us gather in the name of the Lord, if we believe, God is also in our midst. Amen. So we're going to take him at that promise tonight that God is here among us and he knows our need and our desire. We are glad to be here tonight. We thank God for traveling mercies and for me and all of you, and continue to pray for Brother Barry as he travels and so forth. Let's just pray. Let's remember the ones that couldn't make it, those that may be sick whatever the case may be. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, Father, here we are tonight. Lord God, and we're in our positions. We're at our post of duty. And Lord God, we just want to bring honor to your name, Father. So, Lord, whatever we could bring to the service, Lord, is in a good measure. It's only because it's what you've already given us, Lord. So, Lord, we want to give back the gift that you've given unto us, which is Christ. And, Lord, we pray that you would just move in the service and you'd have your way, Lord. You'd touch those that may be sick at home or those that may be streaming, whatever the need is, Lord. You're an ever-present rock in a time of trouble. So, Lord God, we just commit ourselves into thine hands tonight. Father, we pray you forgive us for our trespasses, Lord, and all the things in our life that's not like you. Continue to mold us into the image of your mind. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let the church say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You have your Bibles. Let's go to Jeremiah 29 first. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah. It's a familiar passage of scripture. Let's just read verse 11. If you haven't said amen. The Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your hearts. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I've caused you to be carried away captive." Let's go to Romans 9. Romans, the 9th chapter. Let's start at verse 9. Romans 9 and 9. The Bible says, "For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It is said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You can have your seats tonight. Amen. Tonight, by the grace of God, I want to use for a subject coming out of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, an expected end. An expected end. He said, "I know the thoughts I have concerning you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end." So it's clear to us, according to the scripture, that God already knows what we're supposed to be. And he's already mapped things out in our life. He's Alpha and Omega. God is the beginning and the end. But what troubles us a lot is the middle. Sometimes we don't quite know how things are going to turn out because of how the middle looks. God is not concerned about that. He knows your beginning and he knows your end. Let's go to Genesis 1 real quick. Genesis 1. Genesis 1 and verse 11. Look, the Bible says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs yielding seed, and fruit trees yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielded fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God said that it was good. Now, when I look at the pattern of the scripture, it's clear. Whatever God said has to happen. Because God said, let every seed bring forth of its kind. And then the Bible said, and every seed brought forth of its kind. So, church, what we ought to see about our lives is whatever God has spoken about us, we ought to look for those things to come to pass. You know, but sometimes the walk may not be clear. It may look a little dreary, or it may look like it won't happen in a good light. But that's not our problem. The problem is for us to believe God. The thing we ought to do is realize that this walk is a walk of faith. Hallelujah. And if we would have everything, you know, I was somewhere preaching, and I may have said this here before, but before I came out, the pastor came up and he just started addressing the church. And he said, you know, we pray to God and we ask God to show us our life. Wouldn't you just love that? Wouldn't you just love for God to show you everything, how it's going to all end up, you know, where you're going to be at 5 years from now? Wouldn't that make you feel good? Somebody talk to me now. Wouldn't that make you feel good if God would just come and say, don't worry about nothing. In 5 years, you're going to be rich with a big house, you know, house on the hill, have 2 golden retrievers. Everything is going to be good. Wouldn't that make you just, you know, you would just press on that much more, or would you get slack? Because God didn't show you everything. He didn't told you how your life was going to end up. So, if he would do that, what need would it be for us to have faith? Hallelujah. So God doesn't operate like that per se all the time. Now he has, you know, God has ministries and or gifts on the earth that operate by prophecy and vision. Hallelujah. That can show us things to come. But God doesn't verbatim always show you your life. God is a God of pieces. Hallelujah. Amen. God is a God that can put a puzzle together no matter how mixed up it looks. No matter how many pieces may be there, God knows where every piece belongs. Hallelujah. And you know, normally we take a big old puzzle, we start with the ends. And we get the corners together. And then we start filling in the inside. Why? Because the inside is the most difficult part. But look, if you get the ends, you got the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. But that part in the middle, oh my. Hallelujah. But that part in the middle, it takes a little bit more thought. And it takes, hallelujah, somebody with perseverance to say, okay, I got the image on the box. I know what this thing looks like. Now I'm going to take my time and I'm going to try this part. And it might not work, but you don't quit. Hallelujah. And church, that's what our life is like. Hallelujah. We try this part. We try that part. And it may not fit, but we got the beginning and the end. Everything else is going to work itself out if you continue to apply faith. Hallelujah. Putting the puzzle together is all about faith. Hallelujah. And you know what? When you first get that puzzle, it's very difficult. Hallelujah. And it can be very discouraging. And you can sit there for hours, and all you got is one corner. All you got is one corner. You're like, man, I ain't got time for this. I'll come back tomorrow. But the puzzle ain't going to change. Hallelujah. That's what's happened to people. They walked away because their life was like a puzzle, but your life is not going to change until you become what God wants you to be. Hallelujah. So you can walk away from the puzzle, but remember, God already has the image of the whole thing, and he knows the beginning and the end. But there's too many people getting caught up with how the middle looks. And you know, sometimes what we do, I'm sorry, cameraman, I can't be still. Hallelujah. But you know, sometimes what we do, we'll take pieces of the puzzle, and we'll try to make them fit. And you know when it don't fit? It just don't fit. But some of us are stubborn. What we'll do, We know it don't fit, so we'll lay it on top, and then we'll smash it. It still ain't going to fit. Because, church, what I want to show you tonight, by the grace of God, about our lives, when you try to make one piece of the puzzle fit that doesn't fit, hallelujah, you leave the original piece out. Hallelujah. So, church, what we want, hallelujah, in our life is God's perfect will. Hallelujah. I want what God wants me to fit. If it's a trial, I want that trial to fit. Hallelujah. Don't give me something smooth and sweet and nice when I'm supposed to be, hallelujah, praying and fasting, hallelujah. Because that's the only way my life is going to turn out the way God's image has made it. The way God sees it from the beginning. You know, the Bible says every seed will bring forth of its own kind. It has to produce, hallelujah, the elements of the life within the seed. Oranges cannot produce apples. No matter if you put them in the same bedding ground. An apple seed can only produce apples. An orange seed can only produce oranges. Hallelujah. What I'm saying to you tonight, church, is that we can only be what God has us to be. And you know what? We ought to be happy with that. Amen. But I want to show you, church, that we must remind ourselves over and over and over that God is in control. Somebody say amen. God is in control. You know, sometimes you need to rehearse the word till it becomes an anointing you walk in. Sometimes I get up and I say, hallelujah, God cannot fail. And I walk around all day saying, God cannot fail. And then when it gets in my spirit, you know, my tire may go flat. But I got in my spirit, God cannot fail. So you know what? That flat tire is not able to bring me down. Because I'm already walking in the atmosphere, hallelujah, for an expected end. Woo! So that's what we have to do, church. We have to walk in an atmosphere, hallelujah, that gets, hallelujah, supernatural results. And how do you do that? By speaking the word. You need to walk, get up some mornings and say, I'm blessed. But you know what we do? We stay up real late and we get up the next morning and say, oh, I'm tired. You've been creating an atmosphere around the rest of your day at work. Church, I was rushing today trying to take care of some things before I went out of town. And I'm trying to, by the grace of God, you know, when you get a little bit older, you have to eat a little bit better. Talk to me, church. Some of y'all young people may not be there yet. You just love you some Mickey D's. To all be Patty, that song, come on, you used to be singing. To all be Patty, special song, let it cheat. And that song, it just do something to you. And then you aggravate your parents for 5 to 10 miles. Can we go to McDonald's? Can we go to McDonald's? It's an atmosphere. But you know, I'm trying to break away from putting that kind of stuff in my body. Hallelujah. Because that kind of stuff, it can't produce life. Hallelujah. Because of its origin. Hallelujah. Amen. Somewhere in there, God, hallelujah, created, hallelujah, a real potato. But those McDonald's fries are not a real potato. Hallelujah. So God has a beginning of the potato and an end of the potato, but McDonald's has something in the middle. That saying is a potato, but it's not really a potato. So the more I consume that, the more I have a certain kind of end. But let me say that. I say that to say this, that against my will, I stopped at McDonald's today. I really didn't want to. But Wayne, I really didn't want to do it. But I succumbed to the pressure. And I said, boy, that egg McMuffin will be good right now. So I stopped, got me egg McMuffin. You ever got something and as soon as you got it, you felt guilty? Somebody talk to me. Why? Because you're trying to do better, and you know what's right. And you made up in your mind that this stuff is no good for me. I already read about it. I already know what it's going to do. But because it's convenient, you take a hold of it. Hallelujah. Knowing you shouldn't have it. And it's like that in the kingdom of God. God has already convicted us on the kind of life we should be living for. The kind of life we should be striving for. But what we do, we settle for convenience. You don't choose a church out of convenience. Your life is on the line. Hallelujah. And Brother Barry is not a convenience kind of pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. My pastor is not a pastor of convenience. Because sometimes he'll say things, he'll just shake you up bad. He was like, Lord, I'm trying to serve you. But he had to say that because there's another piece going in my puzzle. Hallelujah. And that's what pastors do. Pastors help to make the image of the puzzle, hallelujah, come clearer. Amen. You know, church, like I was saying, I stopped there. I got my Mickey D's or whatever. But when I pulled up in the drive-thru, I can tell it was a young lady. And she said, you know, they're supposed to be chipper. Because they're trying to get your business, right? I used to work fast food when I was a teenager. You know, customers are always right. So you're supposed to say, welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please? My name is Keisha. Something like that. You know, but this is what she did. She said, can I take your order? That's all she said. Can I take your order? Now, if I was the boss, she was not doing her job according to the guidelines. Hallelujah. She was not, hallelujah, putting the pieces of the puzzle in the right place. Now, if I was a person caught up in my emotions that day, this morning, hallelujah, I would have had an attitude with her. I would have been like, who does she think she is? She needs to talk to me the right kind of way. I'm a paying customer. You ever felt like that? Oh, my. Some of y'all ain't going to say it, but I guarantee you, you go to Starbucks and get some cold coffee. And you didn't left the place. You're driving down the road, and you drink that coffee, and it's supposed to be a hot latte. Or a double-double, whatever it is. Supposed to be hot. And you take one sip, and it's cold. You're going back. And you ain't going back to the drive-thru. You're getting out. You want somebody to see your face and hear your complaint. Hurry. Why? Because you feel like you got a right. Let me tell you something, church. God got a right to take us through whatever he wants to because our life doesn't belong to us. Hallelujah. He can stop the vehicle at any time when your coffee is cold. Woo! When you're supposed to be hot. Your life is supposed to be hot. It ain't supposed to be lukewarm. What? I never understood iced coffee. That's these millennials creating this stuff. And I ain't really no big coffee drinker, but I know I can't drink it cold. Hallelujah. But church, God, he knows everything about us. And if we look at our lives right now, ask yourself this question. Is God in control of my life? And if you say no, who are you giving credit to? You're basically saying the devil's in control of my life. Because you ain't in control of it. Hallelujah. There's only two spirits you're going to live by. The spirit of the Lord or the spirit of the enemy. So if God is not your head, the enemy is your head. Hallelujah. I don't care if I get sick. The devil will not get any credit. That sickness is to bring out the revelation of healing. So even when I'm sick, God getting glory. Even when I'm sick, pieces of the puzzle are dropping in the right spot. You know, y'all may hear me saying more and more, I thank God, hallelujah, that I had cancer in my brain because that trial was a piece of the puzzle that from that point, from now and forever, I know that God is a healer. Hallelujah. That's one piece of the puzzle. I always know where it goes. Woo! And you know, when you get acquainted with the puzzle, the more you put it together and you mess it up. And you come back and put it together. And you mess it up and you come back and put it together. You put it together faster and faster. Why? Because you know where the pieces go. Woo! Anybody being blessed? Church, we get to the place where we begin to, hallelujah, act our lives out as children of God. And the pieces of the puzzle become easy. Why? Because you're trusting in God. You say, Lord, I know where this goes. I'm just going to let you have it. That's where it belongs. We're not putting the puzzle together. We're putting it in God's hands. And God can never make a mistake. Church, I look and I begin to think, you know, this young lady, she's having a bad day. And she says, I roll up to the window. She's all looking all miserable. And I say to myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to smile at her. So what I did, as soon as she turned around and take my money, I was like this. And she looked at me. And she couldn't help but smile. Because she wondering, why am I smiling? I did that to bring her out of the attitude or the atmosphere she was in. Hallelujah. And church, you have the power, hallelujah, to change people's lives. You have the power to bring your loved ones, your church members, this church into another atmosphere. Hallelujah. You can bring this service tonight in a Holy Ghost filled atmosphere with your faith. Hallelujah. Your faith can save your children. Your faith can save your spouse. Your faith can produce that job you've been praying about. Yes, it can. You just have to walk in the right atmosphere. You know what? Jesus never walked in the atmosphere of doubt. Hallelujah. Even when he was praying to God, Lord, let this cup pass from me. That wasn't doubt. He just knew God could do it. He knew God could change it at any moment. But then he said, not my will, but thine will be done. Church, those are the greatest words we could ever rehearse to God. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. As long as it's God's will, the puzzle will make sense. Hallelujah. Don't get nervous. I'm about to close. Hallelujah. But church, I was just thinking about and expect it in. And sometimes you can look at a seed. And you know, most seeds are very ugly. They are very ugly. A pear seed, very ugly. You know, one of the craziest looking seeds to me is a mustard seed. Because you can barely see it. But the Bible says, hallelujah, all we need is the faith as the grain of a mustard seed. Something that the human eye can barely see. And the Bible says if you got just that much faith, it'll move a mountain. Mustard seed faith. Something you can barely see. Amen. Not a pillar of fire running around the church. Hallelujah. Just maybe a sister over here praying. Hallelujah. Nobody paying her any attention. Hallelujah. But then God can see that faith. And God moves into it. Hallelujah. It's the greatest of all trees. But it looks like nothing. And it produces a fruit that's very sweet. I hate sour fruit. Anybody like sour fruit? I just can't get into that. That's why when I go to Walmart, before I buy the grapes, forgive me, Lord. I got the taste test. Y'all might as well say amen. Y'all know y'all walk through. Ooh, these grapes are sweet. If they sour, you leave them alone. How you know they sour? You tasting them? Now, that may not be right. I said, Lord, forgive me. But why am I going to pay for something I know I'm not going to eat? Hallelujah. Now I want to show you, church, that's about sense. That's about how much sense it makes, hallelujah, for us not to incorporate Christ in our life when he already paid for everything. Hallelujah. He's already paid for your salvation. He's paid for your deliverance. He's paid for your joy. Amen. He's paid for your peace of mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we use what's already paid for? Glory. He's already ours. God is looking at an expected end for us. Look, the scripture says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Let's go to Galatians, the third chapter. I read this scripture and it just blew me away. Because you know the Bible says, while we were yet in sin, God already made a way. Amen. Before we ever did any good or evil, God had already made a way. Now, most of us can testify that before we met God, we were just ordinary sinners. Amen? I don't know about you, but it wasn't nothing special about me. I was just a man living in the world, a boy living in the world, just a regular, ordinary sinner. But God had already made salvation a piece of my puzzle. Hallelujah. And I didn't even know that it was there, but it was there. Just my beginning. I'm born in a worldly household, just living. My middle's all mixed up, but somewhere in there, hallelujah, somewhere in there was salvation. Somewhere in that puzzle, hallelujah, was cancer. Woo, hallelujah. Somewhere in that puzzle was healing. Amen. Somewhere in that puzzle was forgiveness. Somewhere in that puzzle was deliverance. Woo! Even though I started out not knowing what I was going to be, never done anything, hallelujah, and on my journey, I was a sinner, but going down, God changed my life in the middle. Hallelujah! Has he done that for us?
Yes, sir.
He has an expected end. It's time for us to realize that. Don't look at your life and say, oh, Lord, what's going to happen to me? God already knows. Stop asking silly questions. Where I'm going to go from here? Like, only way I can go from here is up. Hallelujah. Galatians 3. Look at this scripture, church. Now remember, before I read this, the Bible says that God, when it came to the children that were going to come from Isaac, he said that the younger was going to serve the older. Hallelujah. And the two boys, never doing any good or evil, God, before they were born, already loved Jacob. Phew. My. Look. 3 and 8. Galatians 3 and 8. Look, the Bible says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Oh, oh my. Let's just stop right there, church. The Bible says, hallelujah. Oh, let's read it again. I hope y'all getting something out of this. Because when I was coming up this way and God just started dealing with me with this, and, you know, I'm just the kind of person, I have nothing but thoughts. Hallelujah. I don't have nothing concrete. And I sit back there and I'm like, Lord, you know I don't know what I'm doing. I need you to put this together. And I come out here with my scriptures and maybe a couple quotes, and it looks like a puzzle. And I'm like, Lord, how am I going to get that thought out of this? It don't even look like it match up, but that's my own mind. God is just saying, okay, start with this, and I'm going to take care of everything else. All right. Church, he's faithful. Amen. Listen. He says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Oh, my. Church, the scripture already says about you and I that we're justified. Hallelujah. Justification means what? You never done it in the first place. The scripture says, I'm forgiven. The scripture says, I'll be born again. The scripture says, hallelujah, by his grace, I'm saved. Hallelujah. The scripture says, amen, in Colossians, where it says there'll be a body change. Who is it talking about? It's talking about us who were once heathen.
Yes, sir.
Foreseeing that the heathen will be forgiven. The heathen will be justified. You know what? We're going to break this mold one day. I'm sick of this rumor. I told y'all about that rumor. I'm sick of that rumor that only black people shout. Sick of it. I can feel your shout inside. I can feel it. Y'all know that rumor is all in the message, all over the place. I preach at some churches, I can just feel that rumor. I'm like, y'all know what they're saying about y'all? There's a rumor going around. It's everywhere. Branham Tabernacle, Arizona, South Carolina, Florida, it's all over the place. And don't go out in the Midwest, it's strong out there. Hallelujah. But that's just a rumor, hallelujah. What is the shout? The shout, hallelujah, is that the bridegroom coming, hallelujah. We know he's on the way. There's something inside of us that's bubbling. There's something inside of us that's telling us, get ready. There's about to be a body change. Hallelujah. And it ain't just going to be black people in the shout. Oh, y'all going, amen, that one. We got the victory. Natural types are spiritual. Hallelujah. But look, let's finish reading. It says in the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Hallelujah. So God, knowing that we were going to be born, hallelujah, in a fallen nature, he already made the scriptures to work in our favor. He already put scripture there that, hallelujah, is going to justify us to work in our favor. Hallelujah. That's why he put scripture there, even though we were heathen, that we accept scripture by faith. Scripture like, I'm the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. Scripture that tells me, hallelujah, by faith, even though I was a heathen, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. God foresees. He put scripture in place. As I'm on the journey, certain things that just fit in the puzzle. Church, think about this. We can't lose. Think about it. You can't lose. You know, I know it's baseball season, but I think the most important thing right now is basketball finals. And you know, before those players go out, they have to reach for the future. They have to say, my goal is to win a championship. My goal is to come out here this night. They can only play one game at a time. But they can go out there, they can say, we're going to win tonight. I wonder how many people on the team say, I feel like losing. You know what? I'm here, you know, but I don't feel like winning tonight. I want to be a loser. You got to be crazy if you got that kind of mindset. Amen. So, church, no way in our journey we should be thinking like a loser. Because God has already set us up according to the scripture that we're with us. Hallelujah. Revelation 15, it shows Moses them on the other side singing and worshiping. Because they won the victory. Miriam pulled out the tambourine, started dancing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on. Hallelujah.
You know, you think sometimes you read the Bible, and this ain't a part of my thought, but sometimes you read the Bible and you see what's taking place. Don't you wish you were there? Hallelujah. You wish you were there to experience that. You know, I wish I was there when David killed Goliath. Oh, my. Well, that would have been a sight. Oh, my. You know, the way I'm built, hallelujah, I wouldn't have been there afraid. I would have been on David's side. I would have been standing right beside David because of the way I'm built. That's why God wouldn't let me be born in that age. Hallelujah. Because God had to write that scripture about David. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm still slaying my giants. They're just spiritual. Hallelujah. We're still slaying our Goliaths. They're just spiritual. Hallelujah. But God couldn't let us be born in that time because it wouldn't have been written about David. It would have been written about us. I got about 3 amens. Y'all don't believe that? Hallelujah. And you know, that's why we are the last church. We are the end of the sting. Hallelujah. Because if it wasn't, there'd have to be more scriptures in the Bible talking about us. Let's turn to the book of Jared. Hallelujah. Turn to the book of faith. Hallelujah. Church, that's what it has to be. It has to be our lives. We have to be written down, hallelujah, so the church behind us will have examples to live by. Wow. Glory to God. Look, church, God has already put things in place, amen, for us to have a winning attitude. And, you know, I kind of feel like Job. I kind of feel like, you know, when a trial, you know, when you're in a trial and a trial starts, you know, when it first starts, it's almost like a moping stage. Because you kind of like, why is this happening? You know, and if you're trying to serve the Lord and doing everything you're supposed to do, and you know, you have questions, you'd be like, Lord, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. But what God is doing, he's producing spiritual stamina. Hallelujah. When you become, like the Bible says, hallelujah, a tree planted, unmovable. Hallelujah. And for you to be unmovable, that means you have to have several experiences where you're being shaken. Hallelujah. Glory. So God allows us to be shook. Hallelujah. So we can fulfill the scripture that preceded us. Hallelujah. That says we'll be unmovable. Glory. And you know, as Job, as he grew and grew, you know, in that trial, he got to a place where his conversation became more and more positive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord God giveth, and the Lord God taketh away. Woman, you speaketh as one of the foolish women. His conversation became more and more positive. Hallelujah. His conversation began to precede the trial. He got to a place while he was in the trial and he said, I know my Redeemer living and I'm going to see him again. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Job went before the resurrection, before Christ was ever even on this earth in the flesh. Your language, your life ought to precede your trial into that life God originally created you for. And once you get there, God has to fulfill the end like he saw it. He didn't see Job struggling and all that stuff. That was just the middle. But God already knew before he went through the trial, he told Satan, ain't nobody like him in the world. Ain't none like him in all the earth. He's a just man. Hallelujah. A righteous man. He never even looked at women wrong. Hallelujah. There's none like him. God had a testimony service about Job before he went through the test. Now, how you going to fail if God is already testifying about you? You think God going to make himself look like he don't know who you are? It's like somebody saying, I was in Minnesota, and they have a guy on the team called Stephon Diggs. So while I was talking, I said, well, you know, I would like to move out here, but my cousin out here, Stephon Diggs. And he, oh, I said, I'm just joking. He ain't really my cousin. Even though we got the same name, I really don't know who he is. So if I claim him, that's a false representation. Can you imagine God falsely testifying about you to the enemy before you go through a trial? Hallelujah. If you fail, let me tell you something, church. If you fail, it'll make God look like a liar. Woo! That's why he can take a 90-year-old man, hallelujah, and give him a promise and tell him, you're going to have a son. And take a 70-year-old woman and change her body. Hallelujah. Why? Because God already knew what the puzzle was going to be. Hallelujah. See, the devil couldn't see in all that mix up, hallelujah, that there was a baby in there. Hallelujah. He couldn't see that. All he saw was the beginning. All he saw was Sarah and Abraham. He didn't know that in the middle right there, when you put that picture together, they were holding a baby. Woo! And there are some blessings, church, that we're supposed to be holding. Don't worry about the middle. God got it under control. Hallelujah. Look. He said, this is powerful. He said in the scripture, I'm still in Galatians. He says in the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, hallelujah, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. We have to be blessed because God already preached it in Abraham. Who in here Abraham's seed? You got to be blessed. You have to be blessed. Why? Because it's already preached. There's a word of your blessing already gone out. Hallelujah. It's already spoke about that the children of Abraham, hallelujah, will possess the gate of the enemy. It's already went out, hallelujah, that my enemy ain't got no power over me. Glory to God. Oh my. Yeah, I'm going back now to the meeting of David and Goliath. Can you imagine if you was there? I can imagine if I was standing beside David, David pulled out the stone. I'm like, no, David, we ain't doing it. I want to fight. Because I know I win. Hallelujah. But see, that's what David was doing. David was ready to fight because he knew he'd win. He knew God was on his side. But see, I'm just one of those people who like to get physical. Hallelujah. My favorite sport was football. The coach used to call me Do Dirty. Even though you was on my team, I was going to hit you. They didn't want to play with me in practice. Man, don't you realize we on the same team? I said, yeah, but until we get to the game, I got to take my frustrations out on you. And sometimes that's what we do. We're on the same team, but we take our frustrations out on one another. And you might say, well, that ain't right. Yes, it is. That's how we grow. Hallelujah. You say, well, God, give me perfect love. How you going to get it if somebody don't hate you perfectly? Right? There's a law of contrast. Amen. The prophet of God said, amen, for every good, you have to see an evil. He said, it takes an ill-famed woman to show you what a virtuous woman really is. Hallelujah. And it took, amen, the jealousy of Joseph's brothers, hallelujah, to throw him in the pit, the lies from Potiphar's wife, amen, the forgotteness of the people in the jail, all those things to happen for him to get to the throne. Wow. Amen. And all of that, lies. Jealousy, envy, all those things was a part of his puzzle, but his end was the throne. Woo! So why not go through the little persecution? Why not go through the little misplacement or the hard spots trying to get where you're supposed to be? Once it all makes sense, hallelujah, that puzzle is going to be flat and level. And it's going to show exactly what it's supposed to. Hallelujah. In my closing, by the grace of God, I'm thinking about Jacob. And, you know, God says, he says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now, when you look at those boys' life, it looked like God should have been hating Jacob. That's what it looked like. It looked like Jacob was going to be the one to have the worst end. Because Esau was faithful to his parents. His dad went hunting for him, fixed food, did all kind of things. You know, stayed close to the house, did all that. You know what Jacob did? He lied, cheated his brother out of his birthright, deceived his prophet daddy. Now, boy, that's a good lie when you can receive a prophet. When you can deceive a prophet, you're a good liar. You never thought about it like that, eh? Yeah. Isaac was a prophet. Amen. He was a man of God. But Jacob's lie was so, it was so convincing. He's sitting right there talking to his prophet daddy. I'm Esau. And look at him. He's going to go get some fur, put it on his own. Boy, now that's a deceiver. But God said, Jacob have I loved. How can you love somebody like that, God? Because the scripture has already preceded the healing.
Wow. Amen.
That he will be justified. The scripture already preceding the healing that they'll be justified by faith.
Hallelujah.
So even though Jacob, hallelujah, to get the birthright, he lied about it. Hallelujah. Then he goes down there to his father-in-law, lied to his father-in-law, trick his father-in-law. Hallelujah. He's doing all this stuff, all this crooked stuff, because his name is Jacob. He's a deceiver. But hey, the scripture had already preceded every heathen thing he would do.
Amen.
Whew. That ought to make you rejoice. So you can go back in my past, and you can say, Brother Deeks, you did this, you did that. The scripture had already preceded this healing.
Right. Amen. Glory.
Made me justified. Hallelujah. God looking down at me saying, devil, I don't see what you see.
Wow.
All I know is he's the seed of Abraham and he's blessed.
Hallelujah.
And he can't be cursed. You can't curse what's blessed, because I told Abraham, in blessings I will bless thee. In multiplying I will multiply thee. I will bless who bless you, and I will curse who curse you. Glory. But Jacob, telling lies, tricking his daddy. He even got his mama caught up in his folly. Church, that was a reason for divorcement. Mama sitting there lying to her husband. Sitting there watching. Go ahead, son. Lie to your daddy. Go ahead. I'm going to help you do this lie. But God. Whoa, church, God had already made a way out.
Amen.
Let me say it. Let me say it like this. Now, this right here might stunt you a little bit. But every lie Jacob told, hallelujah, was something that God had already made happen.
Wow. Amen.
That was the journey God had already, hallelujah, preceded him to take.
Wow.
He had to go. He had to deceive his brother. Why? So his brother can get mad. Why? So he could be run away.
Wow.
Why? So he can meet Rachel and Leah and all the other handmaids. Why? So he can have 12 boys. Hallelujah. Which are, hallelujah, amen, the 12 nations of Israel that God had already said was going to come out of 144,000. Hey, the Bible, hallelujah, the word of God was already preceding Jacob's life. So God had to let all these things happen. Why? So his word could be proven.
Yes,
amen. Amen. So God allowed all these things to happen. Why? So Jacob would lie and Jacob would get in trouble. Jacob would get tricked by his first wife. Why? So he can wait another 7 years to get the one he really wanted. God had to puzzle all mapped out. Then he got to a place where him and his father-in-law were getting along so good. He said, you know what, I'm going to leave. And God said, go back home. Hallelujah. But now he's afraid to go back home. See, God allowed all that to happen. Why? Because God didn't want to call him. He didn't want to call him Jacob. What was his name? Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel.
That's right.
Not the 12 tribes of Jacob.
Amen.
That's right.
Wow. Come on.
So, church, don't worry about it. God's got it all under control. What he wants us to do is rest. Amen. And when it's all said and done, when it's all over, and Jacob's coming back home, Jacob had to meet God face to face. Hallelujah. He had to wrestle with God. Amen. Amen. And what did God do? God changed his walk. Why did God do that? So he could fit what the scripture said about him. The scripture said he was a prince, not a deceiver. Hallelujah. So he had to wrestle with God so God can change his name so you'll no longer be a Jacob, but you'll be a prince. Hallelujah. Your name is now Israel. Hallelujah. Why Israel? Because Israel is God's first love. So Jacob had to represent what had already preceded him. And that's what we got to do, church. There's going to be a rapture. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to be in it. I'm going to be in it. I got scripture telling me I'm going to be in it. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Not only the scripture, hallelujah, but I got a vision. Amen. Called going beyond the curtain of time.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. God allowed the prophet, hallelujah, to have a vision, go beyond the curtain of time. And it was, hallelujah, hundreds of people over there that he was talking to. Hallelujah. Glory. He wasn't just talking to angels. He was talking to saints.
Come on.
He was talking to believers. He was talking to people who knew who he was.
Amen.
He was talking to people that were converted under his ministry. He said, all these brethren, he said, no, these are your converts.
Wow.
Shh, my. He says, and they're talking a little bit. See, the word has already preceded us. He said, hey, will Paul Goose be here? He said, yeah. He said, good, because I preach what Paul preached. That's why Paul had to come before Brother Branham, because Brother Branham was going to piggy off Paul, because Paul, hallelujah, already had a spot there. Hallelujah. So Brother Branham picks up where Paul is, hallelujah, consummates his spot. Amen. We stay on that ministry, which consummates our spot. Hallelujah. Because if Paul makes it, Branham makes it. If Branham makes it, we make it. It's already preceding us. It doesn't matter if I was born after 1965. I got a word, hallelujah, that cannot lie. I'll be there. We'll be there. Why? Because the word says so. Hallelujah. Church, that's so much. Come on, musicians, I'm going to close. I believe you got my thought. Hey, church, God, he already has an image of us in his mind. He already knows what our end is going to be. So let's stop wrestling with the pieces in the middle. If it don't fit, just grab another piece. But keep it moving. Hallelujah. And when the timing is right, pick that piece back up and it'll fit where it's supposed to go. Just remember, God already knows what we're supposed to be. He knows everything about us. He knows every trial, every mind battle. He knows every struggle. God is in control. Hallelujah. Think about that. If you get up tomorrow, before you go to work or before you go to school, whatever it is, just say to yourself, God, I know you're in control. And the more you rehearse that, the more you'll walk in peace that day. Because words create an atmosphere. You've heard the story about the man who was working at a railroad place and he got trapped in a boxcar and he kept saying, I'm going to die. It's cold in here. It was a refrigerator boxcar. He was like, it's cold in here. I ain't supposed to be here. I'm going to die. And he kept saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And he got his mind to believing that he was going to die. And the next day, when they found him, the boxcar, the refrigerator boxcar, it was unplugged. It was unplugged, and the temperature was normal temperature. But he got in his mind that I'm in a freezer, and I ain't supposed to be in here. And I'm going to die if I can't get out. And his body obeyed his thoughts. His thoughts turned into torment. And that torment led to his death. It's very important to have the right thoughts. And what kind of thoughts that we should have? God is in control. Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy beat you down. Hallelujah. Struggle is a part of the growth. Hallelujah. With no struggle, you'll never get a little higher. Amen. Like I said about perfect love, you know, you hear people praying that all the time. Lord, give me perfect love. Lord, please, Father, in your name, give me perfect love. All right, be careful. For you to feel that love perfect, you're going to have to come up against some perfect hatred. And trust me, what'll make it perfect? That hatred coming from somebody you never thought that would do you like that. I ain't talking about the people in the denomination. No, I'm talking about people that know what you know. Turn their back on you. Put your name out there. Just hate you. When they see you, they call you serpent seed. And if you can come past all that, then your love grow becomes perfect. But the only way you're going to do it is if you meet the opposite. Oh, Lord, give me more patience. All right. Be careful. Because you're going to be put in situations where you got to react fast. Or I'll put you in a better situation. You try to get to church and you got little Miss Daisy in front of you. And she ain't got a care in the world. Speed limit 35, she doing 15. And it seems like she being smart with you. Because every time you get ready to get over, she get over. And she's just a driver. But you ask for more patience. That's how you get it. Amen. But just know, God's going to perfect the seed. Whatever we're lacking, God has it under control. Let the church say amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Lord, and to know that you're going to bring us to an expected end. Lord, that the word of God has already proceeded the heathen. Lord, you've already put a word out there that justifies us. Lord, and all we have to do is claim it by faith. Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for just being so good to us. Lord, when the world is just running to and fro, Lord, many people lost in the storm. Lord, you come down and you place stability in our lives. Lord, you become the anchor in our lives, the solid foundation. Lord, you keep our feet planted, Lord. Lord, and we become unmovable by the grace of God. Lord, we pray you bless each and every mind, each and every heart and soul that's here tonight. Lord, and give them what their hearts desire. But most of all, Lord, give us what your will is, Father. Lord, we give you all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. The church say amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Diggs.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Appreciate Brother Diggs and his ministry and his steadfast and faithful ministry in the Word of God. Amen. Have a lot of respect for Brother Diggs. Amen. Just want to make sure he knows that he's always welcome here. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, He Brought Me Out of the Miry Clay?
He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today. A song of praise, hallelujah. My heart was distressed,
Something in my heart like a stream running down makes me feel so happy as can be. When I think of Jesus and what he's done for me, there's something more than gold in my soul. Yes, there's something more than gold. Oh, yeah. Something more than gold. Oh yes, oh yes. There's more than gold in my soul. Yes, there's something more than gold. Sing it again now. Oh, something in my heart like a stream running down makes me feel so happy as can be. 'Cause when I think of Jesus and what he's done for me, there's something more than gold in my soul. Yes, there's something more than gold. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. There's something more. There's something more than gold. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Well, it makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well within my soul,
spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly. Sing it now. Well, now I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, set the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up that well within my soul. Spring up the well and make me whole. Spring up a well and give to me that life abundantly.
Amen. Why don't we give him a hand of praise tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. My, what a powerful message. Just think about that, church. I mean, we come into this world, we had amnesia. We didn't know who we were, but God knew who we were. He saw the end. He saw the beginning. Amen. I'm so thankful of that tonight. Amen. Such an encouragement. Amen. Let's just have a quick word of prayer here, and we'll let you go to your homes. Heavenly Father, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We just thank you so much for allowing each and every one that can make it, Lord, to be here. And thank you for your precious word. God, I pray that you bless the minister as he travels to his destination, Lord. You'd keep him safe, and those that are traveling from the church here as well, Lord. Bring us safely to our homes, God. I pray that we just feast upon your word that you delivered to us through the week, Lord, and to just encourage ourselves, Father, in what you've presented to us, Lord. Father, I just ask your blessings on the young people that are traveling to Louisiana, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just move in a mighty way in their lives, God. I remember as a young man going to the Louisiana camp and what a change it made in my life and the impact. Father, to see friends worshiping God together, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just touch their lives and that you would just bless each and every one. Have your way tonight, Lord. We just give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Let's sing that song, Give Me All in My Lamp.
Give me all in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me all in my lamp, I pray. Give me all in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Oh, give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me all in my lamp, I pray. Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to King. Oh, give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Amen. You are dismissed. All in my lamp, I pray.